used words in our vocabulary. You hear this word almost every day in some form or another is the word love. We talk about love in a lot of ways. We talk about it in regards to our favorite food. I heard this sentence just yesterday. Oh, I love that. I love that place, you know. Or we hear it when we talk about our vehicles. We hear it when we talk about our homes. There are so many songs about love. I mean, that word is just used all over the place. I got to thinking about that this week. What is love? What is love? You know, is it an emotion? Is it a feeling? Is it a commitment? Is it an act of the will? Is it all the above? How do you define it? Many spend a lifetime searching for it. Gary Chapman wrote a book, and it made me ask, is it different for different people? If one person says, oh, this is love, is it also true that another person could say this is love? Gary Chapman's book, Five Love Languages, says we all feel love in a different way. What is love? What is the greatest love of your life? For some, you might think back to your wedding day. You might recall the day that you said, I do, and that deepest feeling of love there. Others of you will go back to the time maybe where you became a parent and the incredible joy that overflowed in your heart when you felt that you're now responsible for the life of another person made in your image. And maybe that's the greatest moment of love that you've ever felt in your life. Others of you may still be on a search to find the true meaning of that word. What is love? For all of us, no matter where we are in relation to that, Jesus gives a key insight in John chapter 15, verse 13, when he says this, greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Jesus said this is the ultimate example of love, when a man lays down his life for his friends. In this passage, Jesus teaches us something about love as well as something about friends and about the one who is our greatest friend. There's no doubt these days we live in an age and a time of deception and mistrust. Over the next few months, let me tell you are going to be bombarded. You already know this, but I'm just telling you this. You're going to be bombarded over the next few months with people coming on your television and pay these paid political ads, and they are telling you why you should trust them, why you should be their friend, why you should vote for them, why you should let them represent you in a political office. Many of them will tell you why you shouldn't trust the one that's there now. They are trying to build a bond to you. They're trying to tell you this, hey, I care about you. We live in an age of deception and mistrust. And you know what I'm going to say to most of them? No, you don't. You don't even know me. The world has different kinds of friends. You know, I was reading, there's faucet friends, those who turn off and on. There's summer friends, those who are your friends some of the time. There's bubble friends, those who are your friends until the pressure pops them. There's unsaved friends, those friends that will lead you astray. But as the old saying goes, there's a true friend. And a true friend is one who walks in when the rest of the world walks out. In prosperity, friends know us. In adversity, we know our friends. Because you see, in adversity, our friends, they know heart. They can sing it back to you when you've forgotten the words. Because when you go through adversity, sometimes you lose your way, but those friends are there to remind you what's important. And I want to tell you about a friend that we have today. We sing about him sometimes. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak, heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou will find a solace there. You know, that song says a lot about what a friend Jesus is to us, because, you know, he offers us access to God. He carries us through our trials, through our temptations, through our troubles. He's a friend who is always faithful. He's not a fair-weather friend. When others run out, waiting on us to call on him. When we're weak, when we're heavy laden, he's there. In adversity, when your back's against the wall, Jesus is your friend. This morning, John 15:13 tells us, no one could love you more. Greater love had no man than this, that he laid down his life for you. Today, as we celebrate Memorial Day, we celebrate and we remember those who, through the struggle of war and service to their country, laid down their life. They loved their country so much that they laid down their life for this nation. They died on battlefields, face down, somewhere in some foreign soil, many of them, to protect the freedoms that we cherish. We set that day aside to remember them. And we remember love for country, love to the greatest degree. They didn't back away. They didn't walk away when the opportunity need arose, but they stepped up. Well, let me tell you something. That's the same kind of love that Jesus has for each one of us. He didn't back away when the need arose. As a matter of fact, when adversity hit our life, when we were sinners separated from God, he stepped in and did what only he could. Those words in John 15:13 foreshadow his death on a cross. Every one of us who call ourselves Christians today recognize the greatest love in the world is the love that sent that perfect sacrifice to the cross to die for us on a cross we should have died on. And I want to tell you something. Even think about Jesus' life. Do you think about, even as a little boy, he knew why he came? Do you think he had a normal childhood, so to speak? I think in many ways he had a normal childhood, but I also think he always had that cross looming. You can go back to the time, remember when he was separated from his parents and they had gone on ahead, and then they realized, hey, Jesus is not here. So they go back and they look for him. And Luke 2:49, he sensed the call of his life. He said, did you not know I had to be in my father's house? Probably around 12 years old. Did you not know I had to be in my father's house? Most 12-year-olds aren't thinking like that. Furthermore, he never was hesitant to tell the disciples the kind of struggle that lay ahead when Luke 9:44, let this sink into your ears, for the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. He knew what was coming, even as a young man, even as a teenager, even as he grew into his ministry. These words foreshadow his crucifixion. From the day he got old enough to walk the face of this earth, he knew that path would lead to a cross. He knew that the Father's love, there was no greater love, and the greatest love of all sent his Son to pay the penalty for your sin. Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Isaiah 53 had already prophesied this some 700, 800 years before. It says, he was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Let me tell you something about Jesus. A lot of times we have this mindset that when Jesus walked the earth, this throng of people followed him, wanting to see the next miracle. And at times that may have been the case, but for the most part that wasn't the case. Jesus never would have been on the cover of the early edition of Time magazine. He never would have been up for Man of the Year, at least not the first century edition. The scripture says he was despised and forsaken. The Hebrew word translated despised is a term that means to regard as worthless. For most of the people in the world, Jesus was regarded as worthless. Who is this man? That's why when given the opportunity to save him, they didn't chant Jesus. They wanted to crucify him. It also means to deplore, to give scorn to someone. They despised him because he was not what they expected. He was not the Savior they were looking for. He was not considered valuable. Isaiah 53, 4 through 6 says, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Then just a few verses down, Isaiah 53, 10 says, but the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to death. Jesus wasn't murdered. He was sent on a mission. Just like we send soldiers from our country on a mission. They go to accomplish a purpose. Jesus was sent by the Father to accomplish a purpose. And he gave his life willingly. And it says in that verse 10, the Father furthermore found satisfaction in the death of his Son. The crushing of his Son was planned by the Father. Why? Why did the Father, why did God crush his own Son and bring him such grief? There's an author, John Piper, writes a lot of books these days. He answers it. He says he did it to resolve the dissonance between his love for his glory and his love for sinners. He wanted to forgive, to heal, and to save, and rejoice over us with loud singing. The Father wanted to reclaim us, but the only problem is he is righteous. That means his heart was filled with a love for his infinite worth of his own glory. But we were sinners, meaning our heart was full of God-belittling affections. How does he resolve that difference? So to save sinners and at the same time magnify the worth of his glory, God lays the sins of us on Jesus and abandons him to the shame and the slaughter of the cross. That's how God resolved the dissonance between his glory and our sin. Jesus was sent on a mission to recover, to lay down his life for his friends. And greater love hath no man than that. Happy Memorial Day. The righteous for the unrighteous, the innocent for the guilty. And because the Lord allowed our sin to fall on him, we sing this morning, worthy is the Lamb to receive honor and glory. In the garden, as Isaiah prophesied centuries before, or just as Isaiah had prophesied centuries before, the scripture tells us, Jesus was there with three friends, Peter, James, John. And the Bible tells us he was deeply grieved to the point of death. You know, when you think of the sacrifice of a soldier, let me remind you this morning, don't forget to think about the sacrifice of a Savior. Because Just like our country today, God is still looking for recruits to join the battle. Jesus was looking for people who would fight hell with him, who would stand against the enemy with him. The Bible tells us Jesus calls us to be one, fishers of men. Paul says ambassadors for Christ, bondservants, slaves, warriors for God's kingdom. And understand this, it is a battle that involves death. Before we can live for Christ, we have to die to self. It's part of taking up the cross. You deny yourself, you take up the cross. And Jesus said, follow me. Join the battle. And let me tell you, the battle is to the death. 1 Corinthians 15, the sting of death is sin, the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. As the battle is fought, we know one thing that we are certain of is the war has been won. You're going to fight daily skirmishes, but the war has been won. Death is not the end, but it's the beginning. It's not the termination, but it's the transition. It's the promotion. Because you see, Jesus conquered death in the grave when he busted out 3 days later. And he gave us the victory as well. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul says. So you see, you join the battle. You join the war. You join the team. But you know the outcome. The key is that you fight. The key is that you stand with Jesus. The key is that you die to self so that you can live for him. That's how you truly love the Lord with all your heart. Jesus defines love, and love defines his work in our life. Because greater love had no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. Let me tell you, there is one who has laid down his life for you. Will you join him? Will you lay down your life for him and for others? We love him because he first loved us. And he showed us how to love. Jim Elliot, great missionary, who was killed ministering to those whom God had called him to go to, rather than fight back, allowed himself to be killed. And he said this, greater love hath no man than this, that he... No, I'm sorry, he didn't say that. That was Jesus said that. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to save that which that he cannot lose. You can't keep your life. You can only invest your life. But you can give it in a greater cause. You can give it for the cause of the kingdom, which we will never lose. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Will you join him today? Will you join him on the battlefield? As we stand against the enemy? This morning, if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, will you join his kingdom? The victory's been won. Will you join him? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for teaching us what love is all about. Lord, thank you for laying down your life so that we might have life, so that we might be a part of your kingdom, a kingdom that will never fade, we can never lose. Lord, help us to not back away when the times get tough. Yeah, we live in a time where it seems a little tougher than it used to be a Christian and to really live our faith out. Well, that's where courage comes in. Give us courage to be the kind of warriors. Courage that led Jesus to go to the cross, to be spit on, to be mocked, to be beaten, and to still be faithful. Lord, give us that kind of courage to be faithful. Memorial Day, as we remember those who laid down their life, Lord, we remember the one who showed us what love is all about, because greater love hath no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. Lord, thank you for being our friend. May we be yours. In the name of Jesus, we pray.